Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM. The Fan. And Sports Radio 66. WFAN.
As previously advertised, Mark Berman of the New York Post covering, as he does, the New York Knickerbockers, the NBA. Mark, I hope you are safe and sound and as healthy as can be. And don't think I say that to every single Icelander fan I speak to.
Thanks so much, Dave. Yeah, doing well here in Long Island, and great to hear your voice. It's been a while.
And it's certainly great to hear yours. And so thanks for obviously a couple of minutes of your time. I think we're going to have an NBA start. Are we going to have an NBA finish?
That's the great question. If I had to bet, I'd say they don't get to October. I just think there's just too many bad things that could happen. Obviously, Florida, and in particular Orlando, is spiking like crazy right now with COVID cases. There's been, you know, more than a dozen NBA players who've already tested positive. I think they're going to give it their best shot, but my gut tells me that it's not going to get through to October. The finals would be played starting October 1st, and I just don't know if they're going to get there. And it's too bad because they put so much work into this, especially the Players Association. They really want to make this happen, but I don't know. I have a feeling that even some teams, you know, after being in the bubble for several weeks, might get antsy. I just don't know if the spirit is going to be there if players continue to contract the virus. And Adam Silver has already said that he'll stop play if the virus gets out of control.
When I first heard today that he was thinking of a second bubble in Chicago for the eight teams, including the Knickerbockers, who did make the cut for Orlando, I thought, my first thought when I was reading about this, was that he wanted to move everything from Orlando to Chicago. But not the case, of course. The bottom line here is it's 25. 16, 2 weeks ago, had already tested, as you allude to, testing positive, and this past week another 9.
Yeah.
So we're at 25, and they haven't even started to play yet.
Right, exactly. And you just wonder how these players are going to be cooped up in these three resorts on the Disney World campus. You just wonder if some guys are going to get antsy and leave the grounds.
Right.
And bring it back. You know, I know there's going to be some security, but the players are basically on an honor system. Listen, they're putting so much money into this also, $150 million.
Yeah.
But it just seems, you know, as the weeks go on, there's just too many bad things that could happen, and including Florida, again, with the virus spiking every single day. It's a worthy attempt. I hope they make it. But if I was a betting man, I just don't know if they're going to get all the way to October. I feel they bit off more than they could chew. I don't think they needed 8 regular season games leading into the playoffs, and they're all going to be best of 7 series. I feel it should have been just 16 teams right to the playoffs, maybe a couple of exhibition games. But they have put together quite a schedule.
And I understand, I mean, with the Brooklyn Nets, they'd lose the number one pick you know, if they were to make the playoffs. Yeah. And then you have Washington. Why would they even give any effort, you know, to make the postseason when they would lose maybe five or six spots in the lottery?
Right. You'd think that the Nets would be in a lot of trouble falling out of the playoffs, but as you mentioned, they would get their lottery pick back from Minnesota, so it's almost, in the long run, good for the franchise if they don't make the playoffs. Right. But it's Washington that would have to knock them out of the playoffs. They're the ninth seed, and they're not going to have Bertans, their sharpshooter, and Bradley Beal is on the fence. So I don't know if the Wizards are going to be tanking too. I mean, that was my biggest concern. You're going to have all these teams, and many of them don't even want to make the playoffs. They just want to get out of Orlando. It's going to be such a test for the coaching staff to get these guys motivated, especially the teams who are out of the playoffs as they begin. I don't know why they needed eight. Well, I know why they put eight regular season games, to satisfy some of the regional television networks to get them over 70 regular season games. But I think it's going to be a mistake. I think there's going to be a lot of tanking. And obviously, players can drop out at any moment.
Yeah, for sure. And here, I took a call right before, in having you on. Call thought, well, you know what, why are we being so negative? And I, you know, nobody wants to be negative. We all want to be optimistic about the games we so love to cover and talk about and watch and so forth. But it's one thing to be negative for the sake of being negative, but it's another thing to be realistic about this virus and how it's affecting and has been affecting ever since March, the games that we want to watch and see.
Yeah, and there's still so much unknown about the virus and how it spreads. There's always contradictory information. The NBA is doing a great job with all these protocols, and, you know, the handbook is 112 pages.
Right.
They'll have a recreation room, but you could play ping pong, but you can't play doubles. I mean, there's just so many rules for these players to follow. I actually did a story in last Sunday's paper from a sports psychologist who thinks that a lot of players are going to be miserable being confined away from their families. Even the teams that just are in the regular season, they're going to be there from July 7th to late August. It's such a big sacrifice, and especially for these teams that are probably not making the playoffs, after a couple of games, you know, they could be almost mathematically eliminated, but they still have to be there. So,
right.
I don't know, maybe there'll be forfeits. I don't know how it's going to develop if some teams start losing interest.
You touch on a great point. You know, you can't play doubles ping pong. They don't want you to be that close, but it's okay to dive for a loose ball that's on its way out of bounds. It's okay to set a screen. It's okay to crash the boards with everybody else. I mean, you talk about social distancing. I guess Jeff Van Gundy and other NBA types, just about every NBA coach would say social distancing is another word for spacing, which is what you would get in the NBA, but the spacing isn't going to last very long, and neither is social distancing. However you go about describing it, it just seems with all of the contact and the interaction, and, of course, the way most teams, only a cynic would say, Mark, that the way most teams play defense, there will be plenty of social distancing.
Yeah, the Knicks would be very good at this with the amount of space they give the other team. But no, I never even made that connection. I read some of the weird rules and all the social distancing things. But yeah, when they're on the court, they're bumping bodies and, you know, again, battling for rebounds. They're basically on top of each other. So yeah, it's going to be, listen, we're in unprecedented territory, uncharted waters. I mean, we don't know what's going to happen. But again, as we discussed, I don't know if they make it to October.
And of course, with the seven dwarfs at Disney World, you got Sneezy possibly spreading the virus all over the place. Tell me what your take is with the second bubble. that Adam Silver wants to establish with the eight teams that didn't make the cut in Orlando, and he wants that to be in Chicago, where at the moment they have an emergency travel advisory. Now, maybe for the NBA, they might waive that. But Chicago is having its issues like most big cities around the country and smaller ones, too.
Yeah.
I mean, they're having a virus issue as well there.
Yeah, it seems improbable. I mean, this is still preliminary talk, but they don't want each of these eight teams to have their own mini camp at their own facility and have the players go back to their families. So they've come up with this idea, let's get all the eight teams together in Chicago and build these new rules similar to Orlando. But again, it's going to take a lot of work and a lot of money, probably a lot of testing, for maybe not a great reward. Listen, the Knicks do want to have OTAs, as we're calling them, organized training activities. They don't want to play games. They have a lot of free agents. It's all voluntary anyway. They just want to have their new head coach, you know, work with some of the young guys and not have the players scattered across the country. But I wonder if they're going to be able to pull that off. It would be in September. Again, the Knicks aren't thrilled about it. Some of the other eight teams are not thrilled about going to Chicago. But I think these teams need to get together because they haven't been together since March 11th.
Right.
And training camp won't start till November. The Knicks, in their perfect world, they would love to start training camp 2 weeks early in Tarrytown, say, you know, in late October, after the draft, after free agency, so they'll be able to get a chance even to work with their new draft picks. But to have this thing in September in a bubble, again, the virus could, you know, continue to spread. And, you know, the NBA wants to see how the Orlando thing works before they go even further in Chicago.
Sure. Developing a team, that's one thing. But the Knickerbockers are certainly going about developing their front office as best they can.
Yeah, Leon Rose, listen, he's trying to surround himself with great people. This is obviously the first time Leon Rose has worked for an NBA team, and he's doing a really good job. He's got a very smart right-hand man and Brock Ahler from the Cleveland Cavaliers, who was a financial cap guy, and he's brought in his buddy William Wesley, Worldwide West, who is going to be trying to recruit free agents. Leon said last week on MSG Network, we have to create a culture where free agents want to come to the Knicks, because as we saw the last few years, nobody wants to come to New York. They've been a losing franchise with an owner who has had his bad moments, and he's trying to create a culture, and he's brought in a couple of very strong scouts from around the league, and Dolan's willing to pay them money to get them out of their former teams. So they are spending money in the front office, but they have to figure out the coaching situation. I hope it's Tom Thibodeau. They interviewed Jason Kidd today. He possibly has an outside shot, but I think the coaching situation is very important.
It seems that they are interviewing everyone in a suit and tie. Let me ask you this. Has Mark Jackson, is he a possible candidate to be interviewed? You know, with all the names, and you mentioned about Jason Kidd today, and of course, Leon Rose has the close association with Tom Thibodeau, and everybody is guessing that he'll end up getting the job. But the interviewing has been going on and on and on, and they are interviewing a lot of people. I'm curious, and maybe you know, and we're talking to Mark Berman of the New York Post. He covers the Knickerbockers, of course, the NBA. Has Mark Jackson been given a chance to interview?
Yeah, it's been a surprise. I thought Mark would be in the mix. My gut tells me that maybe Mark didn't want to compete against Thibodeau. They know each other pretty well through Jeff Van Gundy. Mark hasn't really had many interviews at all since losing the job in Golden State, and I really thought he'd be a top candidate with the Nets. Kevin Durant likes Mark. Kevin Durant's manager, Rich Kleiman, is very close friends with Mark Jackson. But, you know, the rumor around the Nets is if Jacques Vaughn shows something in Orlando and, you know, the Nets play well and play organized, that he may actually get the job. And he didn't do a good job in Orlando when he was the head coach there, so it's a little surprising. But, yeah, the Mark Jackson thing is a little bit of a mystery. He did interview with the Knicks in 2018 when they chose Fizdale, but right now he's not on the list.
Yeah, and again, you know, he left Golden State, and I know he had issues there with some of the players and certainly the front office as well. He was a very much a controlling figure. He did have his differences, his arguments with the front office. I believe he did alienate not the entire team, but certainly alienated some of the players. So he did not leave on good terms, and maybe some of that baggage is following him around, Mark.
Yeah, the reputation was that Mark did not get along with management. The owner's son, who was sort of like a GM type. But I think he would change. I mean, I think Mark's going to get another shot somewhere, and I think he'll do things differently. Leon Rose said last week it's got to be a collaborative effort between management and the coaching staff. That's like the new thing. And Mark did not get that done in Golden State. It was basically his way or the highway. Jason Kidd, I'm told, also in Milwaukee was very stubborn with certain things. The management wanted to get involved, and Jason wanted to do it just his own way.
Thibodeau, would you say he's the one? And if he is, why? I guess, well, the Knickerbockers could say, well, we want to interview every single candidate that's out there. We want to, pick their brain, get information, and that could be a good thing, of course, interviewing all these people and getting what they figure they could do to improve the Knickerbockers, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But we all kind of think it's going to be Thibodeau.
Yeah, I mean, Leon Rose has worked with him in the past at the Creative Artist Agency. William Wesley was his agent for a brief time when Wesley was at CAA. So that's a big thing, the fact that Tom knows management and will work with them both at Chicago and Minnesota. He had some trouble with the president at Chicago, Paxson, and also in Minnesota with some of their people ahead above him. So I think it would be a good situation. He's a great coach. I know there's a knock on him that he practices them too hard. He plays them too many minutes. Right. I just look at the winning percentage. It's terrific. And I think the Knicks need victories. It's been seven straight seasons out of the playoffs, and I think Tom would be a good fit. He knows New York. He knows some of the beat writers. He's a pretty nice guy when he's not coaching, if you just chat with him. But he's got that reputation, but I believe that Leon Rose knows that he's a winner, and I think that's going to be the choice.
Yeah, and here's, you touch on something very interesting that I read about him a couple of weeks ago, that in Chicago and in Minnesota, his starters played, among all the NBA teams, his starters played in the top 10 of most minutes played by starters. So you could say, well, maybe he hasn't got a good bench, but he's had players on the bench, but he plays the starters a good many minutes, and that could possibly tire you out. Now, I mean, there's a number of ways you could look at this. If you haven't got much of a bench, you're going to play your starters that much more. But his playing of his starters among the top 10 in most minutes played, of course, maybe with the Knickerbockers, you need to get not only a good starting five, but a good bench as well. So Tom, every now and then, could go to it.
Yeah. Well, you're really doing your research here, Steve, on the minutes thing. But yeah, no, it's his biggest knock that he overplays his top players, and they're burnt out by the playoffs, and he's never won a championship. And I think he's going to adjust some things. I spoke to Eric Musselman the other day. He's the son of Bill Musselman, who was actually Tom Thibodeau's first mentor. And Eric said that Tom, like his father, did not save them enough in practice where he's able to play him bigger minutes during games. But it's definitely one of the criticisms to Thibodeau. And I think in this load management world where players aren't expecting to go 38 minutes, I think he's going to make an adjustment in his next job.
And do you think he would be able to have the patience working with a team that needs a lot of development?
Yeah, well, that's another factor. I mean, Tom is coming in to win. He only knows about winning, and still, he works well with some young players. I mean, Karl Anthony Towns does not like Tom Thibodeau, and he's been vocal about it, but he did make his first All-Star game appearance under Tom Thibodeau's watch. But that's it's a good point. That's why some feel, well, maybe Kenny Atkinson is a better fit because he's better with young players than Tom. But listen, the Knicks want to win. I mean, it's been too long, and I think Tom is the winner. I think he's the best choice. And you mentioned before, they are taking their time. There's no competition right now for Tom's services with 22 teams getting ready for Orlando. So Leon Rose is talking to other guys, a total of 11, and it's part of his growing process. He wants to interview coaches because this is the first time he's ever gotten a chance to do this. But I think it will wrap up. He said mid to late July. I'm looking more mid-July.
Okay. And before I let you go, what kind of staff do you think he would put together, and would Mike Miller be a part of it?
Yeah, I think they really want to keep Miller in the organization. He did a nice job as an interim coach under horrible circumstances. I think they want to keep him. I think Tom knows Mike from Jeff Van Gundy. Miller was part of Team USA, the qualifying Team USA team that Van Gundy coached. So I think Tom would be fine with Miller on his staff. I think maybe Mike Woodson could be part of that staff, too. I'm not sure if Tom knows Mike at all. And Tom has his own guys. Andy Greer has been with him everywhere. His brother, Larry Greer, was with him in Minnesota. Rick Brunson has been with him before. So Tom has his own people, but I think Miller for sure will be with him if he's hired, and there's a chance that Mike Woodson, who is very popular with Knicks fans, will be on the bench too.
And the next time we have you on, we have to talk about how the Rangers and your Islanders as well could get the number one pick in the draft by losing in the qualifying round.
Have they even set a date on the opening night yet?
I don't think, no. And I don't think it's official that it's going to be Toronto and Edmonton. That is the last. And why do they say hub instead of cities?
It's a fancier word, I guess. But, yeah, I guess we're going to the Canada somehow. But, listen, who knows if the NHL gets to the Stanley Cup Finals either.
Yeah, I mean, right.
But hopefully it will. I mean, hopefully we'll be watching through the summer, the hockey and basketball and even baseball.
Yeah, God, well, the sports gods willing. Mark, thanks so much for the half hour. You know it means a lot. Stay safe and be okay, safe and sound and healthy, and we'll do it again soon, I hope.
Thanks so much for inviting me on, Steve. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, me too. Thank you for being on. All right, we'll take a break, get to the update, and then certainly get to your telephone calls over the next 3 hours on your Fan New York City. So no from the 1-877-337-6666. And now we'll take that break and get you to Bob Huesler on your Fan New York City.